What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 4th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
This shirt, is it new? I haven't seen this one before.
This is not new. This is one of my shirts that I got in Tokyo after I came back from TGS.
Oh.
It's from last fall.
Very nice, very nice. A lot of teacups on it, if you're an audio listener.
Yes, it does. And it's got the tie, which I've gotten really into lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the shirts in Tokyo had ties. And so I was like, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Awesome.
Also, it's March. What happened?
Yeah. God, February went by in a flash. So will this. I'm so division on the brain now, Andrea, that I'm just like so insane to get to the 15th that once we get to the 15th, I won't even have realized that the month's gone.
Yeah.
And then it's GDC. And then it's the kind of Kansas City meet and greet. And then it just keeps tumbling out of control like that. And it's going to be E3 before you know it. And then it'll be the end of E3 and it'll be holiday season.
And then it'll be Christmas all over again.
Yay, vacation.
Kevin's like, can we
Kevin's
just stop
forward
working
to vacation?
Now?
Yeah, yeah, Kev.
December, dude. It's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. We just work real hard and then it'll all be
and
over.
And this summer's going to be a wild one.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
yeah.
excited.
Yeah, yeah. Video games, they don't slow down. There's nothing. Dude, what did you do this weekend? Did you get to play anything?
Yes, I did. So I finally, like, I'm using air quotes here, rolled credits on Anthem.
Oh, nice, nice. You finished the story.
I did. I actually didn't get the credits to roll. I don't know if it was like a bug or it was because I wasn't the party leader. We couldn't figure out why the credits didn't actually trigger. But I can watch them from the main menu, I believe.
Sure.
But finished the story, and then I also, of course, was in the Division beta.
Oh, yeah.
It was really fun. I just was so conflicted the whole time because I've played this beta content
so many
like
times
four
now.
Times already because
yeah.
of all the preview events that we've gone to.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to play it again because the progress doesn't carry over.
Yeah. But so, you did all the stuff. You get all the little trinkets and stuff for the real game.
Well,
I'm
isn't
stoked.
It just that one little White House trinket for your backpack?
No. Well, it depends on what you did. I made sure I did it all because I'm a psychopath.
I thought if you just participated, you got something.
If you just participate,
end game thing in the beta,
you get the American flag skin for the gun. If you participate,
mm-hmm.
there's if you complete the dark zone intro mission, you get the little dark zone trinket for your bag. There's the trinket you're talking for your bag that I think is just participating. And then if you beat the end game mission, you get a Capitol Hill patch.
Mm.
And I had to fucking have it all. Andrea.
I mean, of course you did. Of course you did.
God,
but it looks good. And just as a heads up, if you guys are really excited about The Division 2 like Greg is, we put up a very special episode called The Division 2 Recreate in Washington, D.C. on What's Good Games. It's a long form interview with Chloe Hammoud, Julian Garrity, and Chad Chatterton, some of the members from Massive Entertainment, talking about all the in-depth work they did in recreating and thus destroying Washington, D.C. It's really fascinating. And I have a really nice tidbit with Julian in the middle of the episode where we talk about if his team was looking to other groups doing games as services for inspiration or maybe things to avoid. And it was a really interesting conversation. So if you're interested, please check it out.
YouTube.com/what's good.
It is not on YouTube. It is an audio only thing because it was 40 minutes long. We didn't have enough B-roll to cover it. And at this last event, there was no capture available.
Gotcha.
So wherever you listen to podcast feeds, whether it's Overcast or the iTunes app or Google Play.
Spotify.
You can also find it at whatsgoodgames.com if you don't have a podcast app installed on your phone.
Nice. I might do that. I have a drive today.
You
Maybe
should.
I'll do that. We have division questions from you, the audience. But first, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can submit your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in. Watch it live as we record it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and roosterteeth.com as well as everybody listening on podcast services around the globe. It's weird. The printer just said no. The printer said no to everyone in the office today and quit.
So you have to use a laptop like papers. The rest of us.
Yeah, but I like doing around the globe, and it's weird. I don't have the paper.
It works.
You know what I mean?
That works.
Today we're going to be talking about how the Vita is dead, like officially dead.
And then can we stop talking about
THQ
the Vita?
THQ Nordic's parent company is now apologizing for that AMA and so much more. But first, some housekeeping for you. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the Kinda Funny World Tour is rolling on. At the end of the month here in March, we're going to Kansas City, Missouri. You can go to kindoffunny.com/events, hear about the Flying Saucer meet and greet that is open to the public and free to get into. You have to bring your own money for booze and stuff. However, we're also doing stuff with Planet Comic Con there. We're doing a whole bunch of different panels. Me hosting the Superman one with Dean Cain, Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, Nick Scarpino interviewing Henry Winkler. I think Tim and Andy are going to play some stuff on Twitch. There's a whole bunch of stuff. You can go over to kindoffunny.com/events to find out about that. And remember, then the weekend after that, we are in New York. Now, this also means that I'm sure my hotel will have bad internet connection. I need recommendations on where I can take a PlayStation 4 in New York to play Division somewhere. Because we're going to be there a lot of days, and I'm not going to be able to not play the Division.
Take an Ethernet cable. Hardwired in. That'll be better.
Is it going to be... But I mean, like, what? Are we even in a hotel? Did Joey book us in some Airbnb? I don't know. I'm just the guy who goes. I don't
know
what happens.
Most hotels have Ethernet cables that you can use while you're in the hotel.
But is it garbage internet? You know what I mean?
Of course it is.
See, that's my thing. I remember back in the day. I stick with me. Back in Missouri, right, when I worked on the newspaper, I did an article probably... 2003 about a place where you could go try Xbox 360s out and stuff. No, that doesn't make sense. Timeline wise, does it? So 2005, 2006 about trying out Xbox 360s on stuff in like a gamer's lounge. Do those exist anymore? Did those take off?
I
don't think so.
I mean, but there's internet cafes all over.
All right. Well, I got a lot to figure out when I go to
New York. Also, you might not realize this, but you can get a surprisingly fast connection by tethering to your phone, depending on what your plan is.
But this is what we talked about before. I'm grandfathered into the unlimited data, and if I do the roam, if I switch it over, it's a whole thing.
Why would you need to switch it over?
Because that's what they say when I click on it. They go, you know, we'll talk about it off air. Also, thank you to Patreon producers Tom Bach and Black Jack. Today, we're brought to you by Brooklyn and Headspace, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
All right, for real, for the last time, no more talking about it. The Vita is dead. All right. Earlier, month, we talked about how the Japanese PlayStation site had been updated to say production would be ending soon on the PlayStation Vita. That's when we said our goodbyes. We threw the dirt on the coffin. Over at GamesIndustry.biz, Hayden Taylor updated the article though to say the long death of the PlayStation Vita has finally drawn to a close after PlayStation Japan shipped its last batch of consoles. According to the official product page, Sony has discontinued the platform's two remaining SKUs. The news aligns with last year's comments from Sony Interactive Entertainment. Senior Vice President Hiroyuki Oda, who said production would end in 2019 and there were no plans for a successor. So it's done. We've already cried our eyes out about it, Andrea. We've talked about Persona. We've talked about Freedom Wars. Vita was a great machine, screwed over. It's gone now, though. We need to move on. Embrace the Switch, buy Ape Out. All right?
Okay.
And then also bring Persona 5 to Switch. Okay.
That'll never happen, Greg.
You know what? No, I've heard rumors, Andrea.
They're fake.
There's rumors
That's
online
fake news,
from people.
Greg.
They
it's
have
fake
little
news.
They have little avatars and weird names, and they're saying it could happen.
No, Greg.
It's gonna be Persona 5R.
No, deep in your heart.
But I want to believe. The heart wants to believe, Andrea.
No, you know how this business works.
But he's in Smash Brothers, so there you go. Something's cooking over there, Andrew Renee. You're gonna be eating crow one day.
Sure.
Take a video screenshot of this.
I'll be eating crow when somebody puts it on an emulator illegally, and then it'll be on Switch.
Don't crush dreams like this, Andrea. Damn, it's Monday. We're supposed to keep our hopes up. Number two, THQ Nordic parent company has apologized for that AMA over on Atrium. This is from Brendan Sinclair, also over at GamesIndustry.biz. Of course, we talked about this last week. THQ Nordic went on 8chan, a place that's, you know, the wild, 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 wild dark net of the internet and people fucking putting up child porn and all sorts of gross shit. And it's delisted by Google, and they went and did an AMA there, and everybody's like, what the fuck? And they're like, what? And then they were like, okay, no, we get it. And then I was like, did you really get it? And there was a long back and forth, but... Picking up with Brendan Sinclair, if you remember, when asked for comment, THQ Nordic AB co-founder, THQ Nordic AB, of course, being the parent company of THQ Nordic, co-founder and group CEO Lars Wingfors, initially said only that Brock, this is the guy who had set up the AMA, had already addressed the matter. 6 days later, Wingfors offered his own statement addressed to THQ Nordic employees, partners, and consumers. This letter is to offer my sincerest apologies and regret for THQ Nordic GmbH Vienna's interaction with the controversial website 8chan last Tuesday, February 26. I condemn all unethical content this website stands for. Even if no one within the THQ Nordic group would ever endorse such content, I realize simply appearing there gave an implicit impression that we did. As co-founder and group CEO of THQ Nordic AB, I take full responsibility for all of THQ Nordic GmbH's actions and communications. I have spent the past several days conducting an internal investigation into this matter. I assure you that every member of the organization has learned from this past week's events. I take this matter very seriously, and we will take appropriate action to make sure we have the right policies and systems in place to avoid similar mistakes in the future. As a Swedish-based, fast-growing group, we firmly support equality and diversity. We are also working actively to combat discrimination, harassment, and misconduct. We are already in the process of developing new work processes based on the United Nations SDGs, this is Sustainable Development Goals, and using GRI, Global Reporting Initiative Standards, and we will accelerate this work going forward. End of statement. Andrea?
Yes, Greg.
Too little, too late?
No, I don't think it's too little, too late. I think he absolutely needed to say a statement. I talked about that at length in What's Good last week, and we talked about it a little bit on this show. I'm glad that he came out and said something now instead of waiting even longer.
Yeah.
Clearly, he needed to make sure that his statement was properly worded and they were going out with the right message. Sometimes that takes a couple of days to really nail down if you have multiple groups you have to talk to.
Of course.
And so I'm glad that he did this. I think that THQ Nordic can obviously bounce back from this. This is clearly the result of one person's actions, but the CEO has to take responsibility because it's their brand being put out there. And we talk about this all the time, that you should never blanket judge an entire company based off the actions of the few or of the single person.
Yeah.
And I stand by that. I'm not saying that THQ Nordic is a bad company because of what happened last week. I'm glad that the CEO took responsibility and made an apology.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would have done differently is if I'm Lars and I'm doing the internal investigation, right? I would have said that at the front because it did seem awkward, or it was awkward and it seemed dismissive last week when he was like, Brock's statement is the statement, that's the statement.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
get it, but I felt like that felt, I mean, I understand where you're coming from if you're internally investigating, not to mention you're on your heels, what the fuck just happened? It's still a thing of like, well, no, he's the guy who fucked up. Should he be the guy making the statement? Then on top of it,
no.
Like, where does he speak for the company? Like,
absolutely not. I agree with you 100% that the CEO should have said something sooner and should have been the only person to say something. But we all know how these legal teams are. It can be quite complex. So I'm sure their lawyers were advising the CEO to be very cautious with his statements. I think the way they handled it was very poor last week. Does this make up for it? No. Is it a Band-Aid? Sure. Am I going to be salty about this in a month? No.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Again, I think this is what we talked about on the day when we were, or I guess the day after when we were recapping all this here on Games Done. I don't think that was one of your episodes. It was the idea, right, of, okay, you've apologized. Now it's like based on, you've given your words, now show the actions, right? And so, I mean, that is the battle here, right? The climb on this of just like, yeah, is it going to matter? No. If they do everything right and they just get back to making games and doing the right, you know, I mean, no, who cares?
Right.
It was a fucking weird, stupid fuck. Why would you do that? But now you get to move on with the business of it if that's what you're doing. And again, I think it is, you know, worth pointing out, you know, as Lars points out in a statement, right? They're a Swedish-based company. Like, I don't, you know, there is a lot going on over there where I doubt for a lot of the leadership that English is their first language. So it is this whole thing of like, what the fuck's 8chan? This back and forth, trying to figure out the actual intricacies of it beyond whatever happened. And not, and this is discounting Brock, who I think did know what it was and did all that different stuff.
He clearly knew.
Exactly. It's interesting. THQ Nordic continues to boggle my mind at every turn.
Are they even a real company?
They are. They own everything, and they'll own that. They're going to buy Kinda Funny at some point, I'm sure. It'll just be like, well, another thing they've acquired. Like, what the hell? Why? Number three, The Witcher 3 game director, or one of The Witcher 3 game directors, has joined Cyberpunk 2077's team. This is Jody McGregor over at PCGamer.com. Conrad Tomaszkiewicz, who was one of the trio of creative directors on The Witcher 3, has joined the Cyberpunk 2077 team. In January, it was revealed that Sebastian Stepan, also a creative director on The Witcher 3, as well as a narrative and setting director on Cyberpunk 2077, had left CD Projekt Red to work for Blizzard. The new guy, Conrad, we're going to say, because I already butchered it once. I won't do him the mistake again.
Tomaszkiewicz.
Conrad, maybe filling the gap, adopting roles as vice president of the game development and design director for Cyberpunk 2077, according to his LinkedIn profile, originally spotted by a poster on Reddit.
Those resume updates, man.
That's how you get you. That's how they get you. I'm all for anybody from the Witcher 3 team coming over and being on Cyberpunk. I'm
yes,
super
absolutely.
Excited for Cyberpunk. I loved Witcher 3, even though I didn't get too deep into it. I want to get deep into Cyberpunk. I'm all about this. Are you? Where are you right now with your hype for Cyberpunk?
On a scale of 1 to 10, yeah. It's like a 6.
Is that just because we don't have information on when it's coming?
That's part of it. Also, these massive open world games generally aren't at the top of my hype list. Mm-hmm. I like an open world game. I like an action RPG. It's first person, which I prefer over third.
Yeah.
But I just... I'm like, cool? Like, the whole idea of, like, cyberpunk as, like, a narrative genre in media at large is just not something that I've ever been really drawn to. But I trust that CD Projekt Red is going to take time with this and make it really great, knowing all of the work that they did on The Witcher 3 and all of the work they did post-launch on The Witcher. And that clearly set them up financially to be able to have the ability to do more development on Cyberpunk than maybe they were afforded when they started The Witcher 3 project.
Sure. Yeah, that's the big, exciting piece of this. And this is no disrespect to Gwent. I think Witcher 3 was CD Projekt Red's coming out party in terms of, like, holy shit, look, these guys are on another level now. They are AAA. They, you know, they can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the industry. And then take the success of that, the goodwill of that, right, of Witcher 3 with, like, hey, all the DLC is free. Here's a thank you letter in the game. To take all of that and now have their next AAA major release on the horizon, it's going to be super exciting to see what the money, time, and, you know, I'm sure growth they've had since then is able to afford them for this game.
Absolutely. And I think my hype will grow as we see more. Like, after E3 this year, I think it'll definitely go up a couple notches.
Sure.
But then once we get a little bit closer to launch, because, you know, there's just too much to be hype about right now, Greg.
That's true.
Got to save some hype.
You got to, I understand. Number four, Dreams is going to have game templates built in. This is from Leon Hurley at Games Radar. There's a great interview up there from Leon and a whole bunch of the Media Molecule team. I'm pulling a specific paragraph here, though. There were people in the Dreams beta that just made props, some painted, others rigged and animated entire characters or designed complex AI logic for the community to use. Lots simply took all of this in and used it to create something entirely new, just using these things other people had made and shared. It's as easy or as hard as you want to make it. And to make game creation even easier, the Alpha, releasing in spring 2019, will be adding templates. These, according to creative director Mark Healy, are, quote, a starting point for a certain genre of games. So we've got a first-person shooter template, for example. It's just like a very simple white box version of a shooter. So you just take that, and you can instantly start pulling your own art in, and you don't have to worry about, how do I make a first-person shooter? We've done it for a first-person shooter. There's a 2D side-scrolling platformer. There's a whole bunch of really obvious genres, driving a car, different things like that, end quote. Again, highly recommend going over to Games Radar, checking out this entire piece, because it goes into a whole bunch of different stuff of the philosophy here and the fact that they are really, like, there's one of the Media Molecule team members describing it as, like, it's a game engine. We've made a game engine. It's a game engine on consoles. That's how this they're going to try to talk about this and sell it, which is an interesting tactic because we've talked about it so much at this show of how are you going to get this mainstream? How are you going to market it to the masses during an NBA game? And I think that, you know, what they've talked about of putting out just the creator pack here that you can buy this spring when it actually releases, just the creation tools and suites, that's a great way of getting people in there. And yeah, just making sure there's now thousands of levels and thousands of creations so that whenever the full game does drop or, you know, that's what's going to get other people in, great. But I do also think that this is a great way of, cool, you can get it cheaper now. Get into the creator tools. I don't want the creator tools. I just want to play what's created. Great. But then also when you do want to tinker around with it, when you do want to chip away at a trophy or something like that, and you get in there and you see, oh, well, I can get into this first person thing that is, or first person shooter template, and then see how it all starts to work. That's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Set yourself up for success, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've always been excited to see what happens with Dreams. I've always been curious about what happens with Dreams. It seems like they're making some good decisions right now in terms of marketing, messaging, and everything else. And I'm very fascinated to see if it actually pays off, because I've been so worried since this game went into stasis so long ago.
Yeah, and you have very good reasons to be worried. I think we, as people who are very heavily involved in the games industry side of video games at large, have a much different perspective on Dreams.
Sure.
Because we've been watching it as it went into early access and then into beta, and now we, you know, we're talking about these templates that they're building. But I think about the person who's walking into, like, a Target or a Best Buy or a GameStop around the country or around the world and looking at that on a shelf, having never heard a single thing about what Dreams is, and maybe not even knowing who Media Molecule is as a studio, because quite frankly the average game buyer doesn't probably even look at the name of the development studio on the back of the box, much like most people who go to movies don't know the name of the production company behind the film.
Sure.
And go, how are they going to know what Dreams is all about? I'm still waiting to see what PlayStation is going to do from a marketing angle once we get to that retail point to go, how am I going to convince those people who have no idea what this is to play this game?
What'll be interesting?
Sackboy, I think, was an easy sell.
Of course, Sackboy was, and he was successful whether you played the game or not. That was always the thing, right? You went to Toys R Us, and I remember seeing the aisle of him. It'll be interesting to see if How much does the Media Molecule campaign of Dreams really matter to it? You know what I mean? Because that's what they're waiting for, right? They're like, we're putting out the creation tools and it'll have a whole bunch of levels and some of our levels and people will be creating levels and putting it on there. It strikes me as that you could let that ride in a Fortnite or Minecraft way of like, yep, the creator, and it's, the, I know they already did the beta, but like the creators.
You mean like just word of mouth?
This is what it is, right? And this is the creator's beta or the creator program, and there's more coming eventually, but I don't think anybody's going to be pounding on the door looking for the eventually. I think they're putting it out there totally expecting, hopefully, that it catches fire with the hardcore PlayStation audience, with the people like us that are dialed into the gaming community, with people who want to play kooky, crazy levels or create kooky, crazy levels, right? Because there are going to be plenty of people, I think, that buy that. And when it drops that way, I think there's a large majority of people who pick it up are going to pick it up being like, well, this is the game. Like, I'm not really going to wait till I got to see when they get to actually the Media Molecule storyline part of Dreams. No, nobody really cares about that. Because, again, the weird imp that we're making and taking things over, and it's all very...
So cute, though.
It's cute, but it's all so abstract. And, like, the imp's never going to be Sackboy.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
Because you can customize your imp.
Exactly. So I think... Well, you could customize Sackboy, right? But that was the best part.
I mean, but he still looked like Sackboy.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's the thing.
Like, you can have, like, the little poofball imp, and I could have a little cat.
No, your imp always looks like the imp, though, right?
No.
But it takes things over. Like, it takes things over.
There's a bunch of other little imps you can choose from.
Well, yeah, where they put glasses on them. So what's the cat? Oh, you mean like the little nose on
it?
No,
but it looks like a cat.
See, I still feel like, what?
It's got like ears and everything.
But it's still the teardrop imp?
No, it's like rounder. I'll show you.
You should show me, because okay. I'm pretty sure you have to. I thought you make an imp and then you always have the little imp and then you can take over anything you want.
You can choose which imp you want.
This fucking game. You know what I mean? This is what I'm talking about.
This is the problem.
Nobody watching NBA is going to be like, oh man, that game with the imp cat. That's the thing I need. They're going to be like, the game I can create Final Fantasy, and that's the game I need. Number 5 on the Roper Report, Apex Legends has hit 50 million players worldwide. Congratulations.
Yay.
Me and Andrew having a conversation earlier. I was like, is this where, are we getting into the territory where it was with PUBG and Minecraft and Fortnite, where it's just like, hey, guess what? There's a new milestone.
I'm talking about
this
it
game
all the
that
time.
You know is super successful. Is super successful. Congratulations, everybody. So, yeah, congratulations, everybody. And then, yes, the story number 6, which broke as soon as we went here. Apparently, there's a problem with Anthem. I'm getting it as you get it.
I actually heard about this over the weekend, I didn't know if it would be worthy enough to talk about, because it's hard to know how widespread this issue is.
Well, I got 3 paragraphs from Kotaku. How about that? I'll read that, and we'll go from there. This is from Ethan Gach? Well, I would say Rach, right? R-A-C-H. So, Gach?
Gosh?
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 It's Ethan from Kotaku, whose headline is, Anthem players say the game is shutting down and even sometimes bricking their PS4s. It's been a rough launch for BioWare's new loot shooter, and some PlayStation 4 players are now finding the game occasionally shuts off their system as well. Quote, when encountering a crash or game error, sometimes I get booted to the main menu or out of the game completely to the PlayStation 4 dashboard, a user who goes by the name For the Masters posted on the game's subreddit over the weekend. But twice now, when trying to matchmake on PS4, it is completely turned off. The rest of the thread is filled with other commenters saying the same thing has happened to them on both the standard PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 Pro, sometimes completely out of the blue, other times while they're trying to exit the game. The PlayStation 4 then treats it as an improper shutoff as if the power cord has been pulled. There are several reports on the game's official forum of this happening as well. Quote, the console powers down and will not power on using the normal method of pressing the PlayStation 4 button on the controller, wrote one player. It is the same as if someone pulled the plug out without properly shutting down the hardware, or if the power went out in the house. Sometimes the button on the front of the console works, but other times I have to unplug the console and then plug it back in. Neither Sony or EA responded for a request to comment. Yeah, it goes on like that. When they were saying, here we go. One player even said it bricked their console. Quote, PSA to Anthem players on PlayStation that experienced complete shutdown on their consoles. Stop playing. The user, the Mad Titan Gauntlet, posted on Reddit last night. My PlayStation has been completely bricked to the point of not even turning on because of Anthem. They said they really liked the game despite all the issues, and they just wanted to warn other players about the potential danger to the console. In a follow-up email to Kotaku, the person said that they were playing on the Call of Duty World War II Limited Edition PlayStation 4, which came out only a year and a half ago. We've also gotten some tips. So yeah, this is a developing story, obviously, seeing that. I haven't run into that. I'm playing on a PlayStation 4 Pro, but I don't know if they put out a patch recently, because it was that I would have last played on Thursday, maybe Wednesday, and then I got into Division stuff this weekend, so I haven't been back to Anthem in a while. But you were playing last night.
Yes, I was.
I saw your request to play too late. Sorry.
It's okay. I saw that you were back in Greece, but
I wanted to get work on that DLC, Assassin's Creed episode, the final episode of the DLC for Odyssey.
Talk about another game that I'm sadly behind on. It's embarrassing at this point. I just need to like say no to everybody and just stay home every once in a while.
You should, yeah. Everybody sucks. We know.
Like, hey, no more work, no more friends, no more nothing, just games.
Yeah, yeah. Catch up on everything. Yeah.
But so this Anthem issue is obviously very concerning. I'm sure, I'm 100% positive that people both at BioWare, at EA, and at PlayStation are investigating this and working for a fix, because the thread that I saw was here's how to get your Anthem refund.
Yeah,
nothing to do with actually like, oh my gosh, be careful, you could brick your console. People were like, this is how you can convince Sony to give you your refund, you know, about like, hey, it's like shutting down the game and it's hard crashing it. And quite frankly, I've had a hard crash in almost every single game I've ever played on both of my consoles, quite frankly.
Sure.
And I just notice it more on my PlayStation because I play more on my PlayStation. I play more games.
It's where
there.
The gamers play.
Exactly. And it's concerning because, you know, you never want to run into a situation where you're getting any kind of data corruption or damaging your hardware.
Or having it not turn back on, right? That's
right.
Always the nightmare.
That seems like a super extreme rare case, yeah. Which sucks. And like, yeah. There's no getting around that. That's super unfortunate.
And that's what's interesting too. And I'm speaking out of turn here, and I haven't read the entire article as we just did the piece there. Consoles do brick. I don't know if that's Anthem, right? Like, that'd be the thing of like, yeah. If it's one person on this thread of everybody being like, hey, my thing crashes all the time, but his bricked, then maybe it's his console.
Yeah,
console.
It's very possible. Like, it could be Anthem's fault. It could not be. Like, it's hardware. Hardware breaks sometimes, sure. And that sucks. And it's just part of like owning tech. So I would just say, you know, if this is something you're concerned about, obviously, you know, always be hitting that upload data, sure. Every time you close your game to make sure all your saves are in the cloud. So, because everything
that's
else is
PlayStation Plus, everybody.
Yeah, everything else you can restore on a new system. So your hair looks good, Greg.
Do I? It looks like I got one that's doing some weird thing up there.
Wait, turn this way. Oh, I see it. Yep.
Here. Fix me, Andrea. While Andrea fixes me, I can't wait to see how the hair will look when it's done. But that's still so far away.
Product.
Fuck
it.
Doesn't worry about it. That's still so far away. Andrea, if I wanted to know what was coming to the mom and grandpa ships today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Old Man's Journey on Xbox One. A very beautiful game and an easy platinum, so I assume an easy 1,000 points on
Xbox
One.
Brett really loved it on Switch.
It's great. Black Desert on Xbox One. Doom and Destiny on PlayStation 4. Grits Racing on PC and Mac. And then Geekiddo Kintaro's Revenge on PC.
I hear Grits Racing and I think about grits like the food.
Oh yeah, 100%. 100%. Gotta look it I hope now. That's what it is. I hope it's somebody pouring a bowl of grits out
now
and
I
then
want
you
grits.
Like bring them down the thing. New dates for you. Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, the game Ultimate Slasher Switch Edition is coming out in spring. This is the Friday the 13th game I was obsessed with on PlayStation and PC. It's all the DLC minus the backer exclusive stuff like the Savini skin and the backer outfits for the counselors. God bless them. Go for it. Remember, they can't update this game because of the lawsuit. And remember also, it barely ran on PlayStation a lot of times. So God bless you on Switch. Let's see how that one comes out. CD Projekt Red has announced that Gwent is getting its first major expansion. This is coming to PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, March 28th, 2019. It's called The Crimson Curse. Trine 4, The Nightmare Prince, is coming to PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, Steam, Discord, and all those PC platforms this fall. 2 Points Hospital's new DLC, Pepperly Island, is out on March 18th. Beat Saber gets a new song pack on March 14th. This is from the UK PlayStation account. I assume it's right around that for America as well. And then, as we talked about earlier, Assassin's Creed's closing up, this Legacy of the First Blade? It's a confusing title scheme they have for it, if you ask me, as a big Assassin's Creed fan. Anyways, Episode 3 of the DLC comes out tomorrow on everything. IGN has a review up right now. But don't ruin it for yourself.
A lot
of good stuff. I that's what I was doing last night. You know what? I'll save it for Gamescast because I got some thoughts about that ending.
Oh, okay.
Time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. First up, it's Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in sheets. It's about time for a bedding upgrade. You know that I love my Brooklinen sheets. I talk about them all the time on this show, other shows. When you see photos of Portillo in my Brooklinen sheets, those are Brooklinen sheets. remember, it's easy to mix and match online. I loved that. I went there. I did the blue sheets with the white cover with the navy blue dots, and it looks really cool. And we're big fan. Brooklyn & Sheets were named the winner of the best online betting category in Good Housekeeping. They were founded in 2014 by a husband and wife couple. Their mission was to make five-star hotel quality sheets more affordable and easy to order. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Mix and match over 20 colors and patterns. My Brooklyn Sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. And now it's time for your upgrade. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all of their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. Up next, Headspace. Headspace is your guide to health and happiness. In fact, in just 10 days of In fact, just 10 days of Headspace has been proven to reduce stress and increase happiness. It will teach you the life-changing skills of meditation and mindfulness in just a few minutes a day. You pick, you go in, you pick your thing, they talk you through it, you learn to meditate, you focus on the here and now, as they say. You slow down, you don't talk as fast as I do. That's why it's happening here at the office. Everybody's getting so crazy. As they get ready to work harder and harder.
Even you just slowing down a little bit during this ad, it's very soothing.
There you go. Meditation is rooted in tradition, but also backed by scientific research. 10 days of Headspace increased happiness by 5%. 10 days of Headspace reduced irritability by 27%. 10 days of Headspace reduced stress by 14%. Headspace has hundreds of meditation sessions on everything from stress to sleep. There are SOS exercises for meltdown moments and mini meditations for busy days. Guided exercises to help you add a touch of mindfulness to daily activities like cooking, commuting, eating, and more. Start your journey towards a healthier, happier life by subscribing to Headspace. Sign up now at headspace.com/games to get a free month trial. Sign up online at headspace.com/games for a free month trial. And start meditating today.
Literally signing up right now.
Good. Is everybody in a good place? Then light the fires! It's time for reader mail! Alan wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hi, Greg and Andrea. I was in the open beta for Division 2 this weekend and experienced a lot of audio problems. Guns not having sound effects and the grapple line effect lasting a very long time after rappelling down it." I was on Xbox One, by the way. "Wondering if you experienced any of this with your time in the beta and, of course, your opinions on the game."
I did indeed on PS4 Pro.
Me too. Yeah, I thought it at first was my headphones on PlayStation 4 Pro 2 where it would be I was shooting and I heard my gun, and then other people would be shooting and I wouldn't hear their guns. Then I would shoot and I didn't hear mine. And it was like, oh, the gun. I didn't understand what was happening at first.
Yeah, a lot of missing audio files, a lot of pop-in textures. I mean, things that you would expect to see in a beta. Hopefully, you know, this is stuff that's easily rectifiable with the last few patches that they're going to be pushing before launch, and it will be gone on launch day.
And it's, I bet it won't be. And and this is the thing, and this is what we always talk about, is, you know, we had so many conversations about this with Anthem, right, of what we expect out of a online game on day one and yada yada. Like, I expect there to be tons of fucking problems on that on March 15th weekend, you know, when I sit down to play and I just want to marathon it. I had so much fun in that beta. I am so ready for this game. To like, I was surprised even by myself of, like, I was going to start it and I was like, I don't know if these trinkets that I'm not even going to use in the game, right? Like, do I really want to earn them all? Do I want to do all this stuff?
Of course you do. You just said you do.
Well, I know I do, but like, how much do I say a lot of things I want to do in video games that I never do, Andrew. You know
touché,
that.
Touché.
And so it was sitting down and jumping in and like, I don't want to ruin it for me. Like, I hate doing, you know, like you said, I've played these missions, not all of them, because
I could do that Grand Washington Hotel mission in
right?
my sleep.
Right. And I was like, oh, here's where Britt died. Oh, here's where this happened. But I was like so into it, having such a great time solo. And then when I needed help for the final mission, because, you know, you unlock the end game stuff, you get the one mission. I went and did it with randoms and we were struggling the whole way. They tried to kick somebody out of the group and I was like, no, we're not kicking this kid. We're not kicking this kid. You know what I mean? It's a beta. You guys can suck it up. And they were like, phew. And so we went going. And then at the end,
Did they leave?
Yeah. At the end, we got to a final room and they're like, all right, fuck this. And they left. And it was me and the guy who wasn't any good. I was like, fuck. Well, I can't carry you through this. So I got a group together of best friends off Twitter or whatever.
I heard that some of the What's Good Guardians joined you.
Probably. Our groups
You played with Renjamin, right?
Exactly. I was going to say, and the What's Good and Kind of Funny audience there, it's not a Venn diagram, it's a circle.
Of course,
yeah.
They're best friends, too.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it was in there. Plenty of faces and names I'd recognize from Twitter or in meet and greets. But, yeah, we ran through it, and it was so much fun. It was better playing with them, obviously, on mics and stuff, because I didn't play with mics in the first. I had such a great time, and it was like, man.
Communication.
I can't fucking wait. Well, it wasn't
crazy
that.
It makes a difference.
We were all just capable players. we didn't need to communicate. Too. It was bullshit of like, oh, man, look at this guy glitching through a wall or this, that, and the other. But it wasn't like strats that much. It was awesome. I can't wait for more of that game. I saw it, but yeah, the gun's not making noise is the least of my concerns about day one stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Blackjack writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey, Greg and Andrea, what's good? A few days back, the Division 2's director, Julian, friend of the show, addressed a major concern from the first Division, bullet sponge enemies. He said, you're going to kill enemies much faster, but they're going to kill you much faster too, which really puts the emphasis on cover-based gameplay.
Ain't that the truth?
This is back to Blackjack. This was my biggest problem with the original Division. Some of the heavies took forever to kill. Greg, you spent a lot of time hands-on now, Andrea too. Do you think this problem has been adequately solved? Are the heavy enemies and bosses less bullet spongy in your opinion? Love you guys.
I think they are, because you have to take into account that the whole point of the gameplay style of the Division 2 is that you're supposed to be utilizing all of your tools. And I found the most success when I was using both of my special abilities, because I was one of the first perks that I unlocked, because I was like, of course I want two special tools to use. And then I also unlocked my second gun slot. And so if you're also coordinating with your teammates, like I was playing with John last night, and like we approached a room and we're like, okay, well, you're gonna toss a grenade there, I'm gonna toss a grenade here, I'm gonna throw out my chem launcher, which, by the way, the chem launcher,
yeah,
the fire starter, so fun.
By the way, they've expanded, we are not paid by the Division, you know, I'm just a big fan. They extended the demo another day, so if you haven't played, download it, you can play it tonight,
right? And so, like, we coordinated, like, okay, grenades here, special tool, throw up the turret, and then you're gonna get this guy, I'm gonna get this guy, and we cleared the room, like, instantly.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's what's really nice about some of the small changes that they've made in the way that all of those things work together. And of course, I think it only makes sense that if they're going to make the bosses, you know, take less damage to take down, that you can't be stronger too. Like, that would seem a little too godlike, right?
Yeah. I think that bosses still take a while, and depending on your loadout and what you're doing, take time to come down, but it makes more sense. This is the problem, and this is what they've talked about at length, Julian, everybody in every interview, right, is the fact that now when you're fighting a boss or a giant heavy and they are taking a lot of shots, you'll see their armor start to break and then pieces start flying off, and then they are just humans, and then they start taking the damage as you'd expect. I did feel that, yeah, both the shots I was firing and the shots I was taking hurt more. Like, it is that thing of you can't hang out. You know what I mean? You can't. You gotta stay in cover.
You gotta jump. Yeah.
And so you have to be really. If you're sure you're down to that last guy and you want to come out and run up on him, fine. But I had done it a couple times where I thought it was, and no, it was not. And there was another dude. It was like, ah, crap, and I had to fall back. And
I do like how they visually, you can see who the heavy is too, because of the way that they've designed the armor. And we saw that a little bit in the Division as well, but it feels like it's happening much earlier in the Division 2.
There are different, obviously, character classes you're going up against, but they all do feel like they have a personality. And they are doing things, I think, to really get you out of your comfort zone. Whether it is, like, in the open world stuff in the very beginning where, like, you know, the people are doing the drugs and they're running at you with batons to get you out of cover if you don't take them down. To then in the end game stuff where it is that we were getting, you know, if you do those missions, there are specific members of Black Tusk that are going to try to flank you from behind.
They're using all of your tools against you.
Exactly, and that's awesome. That it really did switch it up and keep you on your toes. Because I remember when they were like, you know, you're going to hit level or in the end game, and Black Tusk is going to invade the world. There's going to be all these new missions. There's going to be, they are the technologically advanced ones. They have like the Boston robotics dogs walking around. You're like, oh, Jesus, God.
Yeah, even in just one of the operations while I was doing, where you were recovering like a Shade Tech cache, like one of the enemies had like a little explosive RC car. Yeah. And I'm just like, no, I don't want that.
That's what I do.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's great. And I think there's a trade-off to that, as we're saying, of like, yeah, they're more powerful, you're more powerful. But I never had a problem with the bullet sponginess of the other guys. Like,
I did.
It was an RPG. I was like, whatever. Like, I'm shooting and I see the damage clicking off.
No, but like, it wasn't fun though.
But headshots count more and all this stuff. You didn't even play, Kevin.
I did.
Shut your cake hole, Kevin. All right? Yeah. Well, anyways, then you're all fucking fine now, you coward. Dan has a question that parlays into what Andrea was just saying. Hello, Greg and Andrea.
Hello.
My girlfriend recently suggested buying a second PlayStation 4 and putting together a dual setup so we can each play a single player game on our choice, while still being next to each other and interacting. I think the idea sounds great, but I'm curious about the logistics. Does that mean we'll need two copies of each game? Will she be able to use my PSN account and get my PlayStation Plus games on a secondary PlayStation 4? Greg, since you have a similar setup with Jen and Andrea with John, can you share some of the logistics of how this works and whether we should expect to have issues with it? For both of you, do you have general tips about managing gaming time while keeping a healthy relationship?
So, this is a great question. It does involve a little bit of logistics. When it comes to copies of games, sometimes it behooves you to buy dual copies, but you don't really need to.
Yeah.
For example, I have my primary PS4, and John has his. And so if I buy a game on my primary, then I'll play it on a secondary, the other PS4, so that John can play on the primary because obviously it's unlocked for all of the users locally that are on the primary account.
Yeah.
And so that's a really easy way to get around having to buy
dual copies.
That's
how when Jen and I were obsessed with Monster Hunter World, that's how we did it as well. So if you're not into the lingo and you're like, oh, I have a PlayStation 4, that's my primary PlayStation 4. No, in your PlayStation 4, you have to go into your settings, go over and mark that as your primary PlayStation 4. What that does is that, yes, you don't have to ping online anymore.
It opens the licenses for that.
Anything
that
downloaded to that box is you can play without having to be connected to the internet. But what it also does, is anybody else signed in on that PlayStation 4 on their account can play those games on a primary PS4.
So then you would go to the one that is not your primary, and then you would go to the login, go to the store, re-download the game, and then you can play because you're logged in under your license. But sometimes the licenses can get, you have to like reassign the licenses, they can get disconnected. There are
Sometimes we'll do it here.
Hiccups from time to time.
Exactly. There's little things, but for the most part, it works fine.
Yeah.
It's flawless.
I mean, I will say it's easier to go disc based for that reason, if that's something you're interested in. But sometimes, but then sometimes you run into the issue where the game's like, well, you have to have the disc inside in order to play it. Because even if you've installed it and downloaded it completely, it's like, but I can't play without the disc. So it's kind of it's a workaround, right? Like, it's not a perfect system because it's technically you're not supposed to do it that way. But I mean, we've been making it work for 5 years now.
And then what tips do you have about managing gaming time while keeping a healthy relationship?
I would say it's always important to put something into your calendar that you and your partner go and do outside of your space. So whether it be go for a walk together or something very simple, or even like planning a date night or planning time with friends, because it's really easy, especially on the weekends when you're not working or in the evenings, to just kind of sink into your hole and put your headset on and then just not talk at all. Certainly John and I have been guilty of that more than one occasion. And that's not a bad thing, because clearly if you have a partner that likes gaming with you, that's awesome. And it's great that you guys share that mutual passion. But I would also think about games that you can play actively together.
Yeah.
And then make sure you get headsets, because once you have your headset on, you can't actually hear them, even if they're sitting next to you on the couch. At least
great
that's
point.
My problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, just like Love and Sex Stuff on kindoffunny.com would tell you, it's all about communication, right? I think that's the thing. But yeah. If you're playing a game together, that's great quality time, right? But then it also is like, if you're not, or you're just playing stuff, this works even if your partner's not playing games, right? The conversation of like, weekend, I think, was a good example, right? Where I was like, oh, I want to do the Division beta. But if I don't hit these criteria, it's not the end of the world to me. So it was very much like, I want to play this, but like, if you want to do something else, just let me know. If you want to watch something, you want to go somewhere, let me know, Jen. Whereas for Division weekend, I've written out the calendar. I'm like, there's nothing happening. Like, I am doing nothing.
You're like, I'm in my underwear playing.
She's like,
Division 2.
You know, GDC, there's going to be some people in town. Do you want to go to dinner? I'm like, no, I do not. I do not want to see anybody. I just want to play this game, please. Thank you very much. Justin Doss writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, what do you guys think about more and more games becoming services and streaming services without really owning a physical game? Does it make you worry for collecting game Does it make you worried about collecting for your games for your library is what he's trying to say.
I mean, yes and no. I have 3 Paragon discs currently in my cabinet because there was a time where you could find Paragon discs in the sale bin at GameStop, but it came with a $60 in-game credit code.
Oh.
So you could buy the disc for like $30.
That's
get
some
60.
Scheming.
Oh, listen, I was hardcore back then. But now it's like, it doesn't matter if I have the physical disc. I can't play it. The game is gone.
Yeah.
You know? And that's, like, I think, not just a digital gaming future that we have to look at and talk about, but moreover, an online game future. Because even Destiny, I think about I also have like 4 Destiny discs from all the different versions and things like that. But it's like there will be a day when Bungie says, hey, we're going to shut the original Destiny servers off.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're going to be like, everybody's in Destiny 2 and then Destiny 3 will happen or whatever. And someday Destiny servers will be done.
Sure.
And then I'll have this disc that I can pop in and
to look at a load screen and like try to connect to server, can't find server.
Can't really do much with it. Yeah. So it's weird. Obviously, it's like if you like collecting, you know, get the physical copy, but you might not be able to use it.
Yeah, I mean, I assume Justin, who's a hardcore Kind of Funny best friend, has been, I mean, around since Beyond days. I assume, you know, I'm not worried about it, no. Like, I don't, for me, I beat a game and put it away. Like, I rarely ever come back to it. Even like, you know, this weekend when I was doing some PS4 maintenance, right, where I was in between stuff where I was like trying to work on just chiseling away the friends list, just trying to get rid of it. Because, like, of course, I brought in those, you know, Greg Miller industry kids. They fleeced me out of the $25. They didn't even put a dent in my friends list. But I've got it down to like the T's now that I'm going through and eliminating all these people because it was a stupid idea to want to be the first person to 2,000 friends. And I did it and it got me nothing except problems.
Yeah.
So I want it fixed before Division. Anyways, I was doing that, and then it was like, let's clean up the hard drive, and it was just, man, Spider-Man, I'm never going to go back and finish New Game Plus. Delete. You know what I mean? The saves are all uploaded, and I own the game, so I can download it eventually, but inevitably, like, you know, he's talking more about, like, streaming and Netflix, like, on Netflix, I don't really, when a movie's taken away from Netflix, I'm like, oh, what the fuck? And I don't consume movies that way where I watch, like in college, I'd watch stuff over and over again. Growing up, I watched stuff over and over again. Nowadays, I don't, in the same way, I really don't play games over and over again, stuff that's been beaten. When they inevitably turn off the DC Universe Online servers, I'm going to be super sad, but I'll also have that real moment of like, well, I really haven't played this game in 4 years, 5 years. Like, it's whatever, whatever.
Well, and there's so many ways to get better new versions of the old things that you played. Like, I even think about games from, you know, the 360 or the PS3 era. The copy that you have on disc probably doesn't look as good as the thing you can stream or buy in the store today, because so many games are getting remasters now.
Sure.
Or even just like an HD upgrade facelift kind of a thing. And I think about in the What's Good Game studio, I have this bookshelf, and the top half of it is video games and the bottom half is all DVDs. And I'm like, what am I going to do with my awesome DVD collection?
Yeah.
Literally nothing, because when I go out there and I look at a movie and I pull it off and I go, I could probably stream this in HD for like a buck or two.
Yeah.
Or it's probably free with my Netflix or my HBO subscription. So like, why do I even have this disc anymore?
Right.
Unless it's Blu-ray, and then it's different. It's always better. But it's one of those things that's like, you got to ask yourself, does it spark joy in your life? And if it doesn't, get rid of it.
Angelos Gambitsis writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, do you in any way foresee a, quote, gaming financial crisis, end quote, occurring in the near future?
No.
I think a lot of people are
going to.
I think a lot of people are going to say it's happening and point to the layoffs, point to the restructurings, point to all the stuff, as I think we're going to get more of those shoes dropping. But I don't think that's what's really happening. I think it is that companies overextended themselves and now need to, you know, dial it back and get us back. You know, I know that there's been GamesIndustry.biz has an opinion piece up right now about Red Dead Online. Is it really tanking Take-Two's stock price? Because that hasn't seen the surge. It's actually gone back since that's. It's like these are all people who. Not people, I guess I shouldn't say. These are all businesses and corporations that just thought one thing was going to happen and it didn't happen. And I don't think that signals a crisis, but it's putting fear of God into them. But you look at like a flourishing indie market, a flourishing Switch, a flourishing...
Free-to-play market.
Exactly. There's so many success stories that, it's, if we want to look at being a AAA publisher and overextending, it's hard right now and scary, I'm sure, for people at the top. But No, it's business and it's just how it works and the market corrects itself.
Maybe this is me completely talking out of turn, sure. But it feels like the people, like the dudes in these boardrooms making these projections going, this is how it, what it's going to be, are so out of touch or where the gaming consumer is at today in 2019, that once we cycle out that generation of people who are making these calls. Like, that will come back to normal, because like we'll have this new wave and this new generation of people in the games business that are innovating and looking at ways to monetize in untraditional formats.
Sure. You hope that's how it all goes, right? And I'm not trying to talk shit about CEOs or anybody else. That I'm not taking a blanket brush here at anybody. But you hope that, yeah, the people who rise to those positions in the future are people that came up in the industry like us. You know what I mean? I do feel that you
like your Phil Spencers.
You get to so, exactly. That's a perfect example. You get to so the top of so many companies, and it is like, have you, when did you, do you play games? Like, do you know what's happening? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
a surprising amount of them don't. And that's really disturbing.
And that's where it gets interesting in the art versus business conversation we always have, right? Where I think, you know, theoretically, hopefully one day Kinda Funny gets big enough to have a real CEO that isn't me, and it's somebody who actually knows what that title means, and maybe they don't understand the best friends, they don't understand the this, they want to learn that, they're interested, they're good people, but they understand business and they understand what we're fucking doing wrong and how we could lock that in and make it better and, you know, make sure we're here in another 10 years. I'm assuming this happens 20 years in.
Greg, we just need to make Gio Corsi in charge of everything.
I agree. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I agree.
Right?
Can we do that? Can we start that?
He could do it.
Gio Corsi for Kinda Funny CEO. That would be perfect. He understands everything, I assume. I don't know. He's losing a lot of weight, too.
Yeah, he's on this new fitness plan.
Everybody hit up Gio Corsi and congratulate him. He's an amazing person. We love him very much around here. Andrea, it's time to squad up.
All right.
This is where one of you, the audience members, writes into patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. And everybody plays games together. Today, Tim Curry needs help on PlayStation 4. That PSN is Steppenwolf Motha.
Nice. Steppenwolf. Classic.
Is it?
Kevin, you're too young. You don't even know.
Looking to find some best friends ahead of the Division 2 launch. I gave the beta a go after listening to Greg for the last few months, and I'm loving it. I live in Australia and play mostly in the evenings. Parentheses, I'm happy to play with people from other regions if you play like playing at odd times. PSN name is Stefan Wolf Motha. Like the band Steppenwolf, mixed with the band Wolf Mother, but it's Motha. M-O-T-H-A.
I thought he was Steppenwolf from DC's...
Of course, from the hit film Justice League.
That's the, yeah.
And then Motha was kind of like Martha from Batman v Superman.
Yeah, I thought that's what he was going for.
Probably a better reference, you know what I mean? Probably a better reference than these two things. If you need to spell that out again, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It is in the description. Also, while you're on Twitter, put out #releasethesnydercut. It's time for You're Wrong. This is where people write in, tell us what we screwed up as we screwed it up on kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Nanobiologist says we missed a new date. There's a Life is Strange book, Dust, coming out May 23rd, 2 days before my birthday. It's a collector's edition, is available to pre-order from Forbidden Planet. Big Curtis says, regarding the Anthem crashes, this isn't the normal blue screen crash that plenty of us have had with other games. Game locks, back to the menu, etc. This is hard crashing. The PS4... and can absolutely ruin your hard drive. Many of us, myself included, have to actually unplug our system before we even turn it back on. This happened to me 3 times the other day, and it has never happened to me with other game. Good to know. Yeah, I was thinking blue screen. You know, I'm sending error data.
This crash has happened to me before, but it's never been 3 times with the same game.
Right. Juan writes in and says, internet is needed all the time for secondary PS4. I live in more rural areas and that is an issue sometimes. Technically, I believe it pings and you have like 15 minutes or something. It'll give you a countdown before you're about to lose it if you're offline playing something. You don't need you'd have to be turned on, be logged in, connect to the internet, start your game, then you could disconnect from the internet and the secondary, but then eventually it is going to say you have a countdown clock to when this ends.
Yeah, and just as a reminder, this is like a... workaround. This isn't like an official way to do it.
Well, he's just spelling it out in case... Yeah. To be clear to the person we're giving the advice to, yes, both those PlayStations should just be online. It's for sure the secondary PlayStation 4 should be online. But you and I were very much talking about like playing a game together, so you'd be online no matter what.
And Mikey, I want to address his here, because I was thinking about it afterwards, and I was like, I think what I was thinking is that we both had disc copies, and so you do need to have two discs if you're playing disc-based.
Cool. And then I saw this nanobiologist says, Greg, I don't know if you saw the news, but Zack Snyder is showing off his cut of Batman v Superman this year. Tickets are limited. Yeah, he's doing a whole bunch of his director's cuts, not his Justice League cut, of course. Batman v Superman, the Zack Snyder cut, I believe we've all seen. It was just the Ultimate Edition. Nothing new that I knew of, but you're welcome to email me if I'm wrong. Or Slack me if
and,
you have my
and
Slack.
And Kevin...
text me.
I'm concerned for the health and safety of the PC with so many Chrome tabs open in this window.
This bad boy's got
That's how Internet Explorer works. That's how it works over here. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every week down a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you, Kevin's showing
Look at the
our task
pull,
manager
though.
Right
the
here.
Memory 41%.
Look at Google Chrome.
If you like that, you can be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Then watch us record it live. Twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. Watch it on roosterteeth.com later. Listen on podcast services around the globe. If you're watching live right now, Internet Explorers is coming up next. Hosts for this week. I'm on every day. Tuesday it's Tim. Wednesday it's Witta. Thursday it's Andrea. Friday it is Tim Tam. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
Thank you so much. You're going to go see Captain Marvel now. You're going to the premiere in LA.
I am. I'm
very
literally
jealous.
Going to the airport.
Very
office.
Jealous. All right. Well, text me everything. If you okay. can, hold your phone like this and record it and then just
You know they take your
file.
Phone when you walk in and they lock it in a bag and you don't get it until
These
you leave the theater.
Motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
And I'm like, but what about the selfies I need to take with
exactly.
everybody? And they're like, no,
But now you
sorry.
Can just lie and be like, I sat next to Brie Larson. Samuel Jackson gave me a high five.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good call.
All right. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.